Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, lead pastor, the Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
I would like us to read from Romans chapter 11, verse 34 to 36. Romans 11, 34 to 36. The scripture says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Praise the Lord. We are talking about kickoff part 3. Kickoff 2026, part 3. Last week, when we started this series, we were building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the concept of the Bible that there is the need for us to build, and there is the need for us to take heed how we build. And the fact that this year has just started, we are just in the second week of the year, it is important how we consider the things that we want to build, especially the life and the destiny that Christ has given us. And one of the things we said last week is that if we want to consider or take heed to how we build, then the first thing we should consider is building on Jesus. That if this year will be successful for us as children of God, our first consideration should be building on Jesus. Secondly, we said we should also build with Jesus. Not just building on him, but now we need to partner him and build with him going forward. Because there's a possibility to have your life in Christ and live your life not for Christ. And live your life not with Christ. Can live anyhow. You can be guided by your own self, because some people, they are a God and a Lord to themselves. But when you build on Jesus, you also seek to build with him every step of the way. We learned about the scripture in Proverbs 3, verse 5, that says that trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your path. We learn that the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. In this morning service, we want to consider the fact that we don't need to just build on Jesus, build with Jesus, but we have to build for Jesus. We have to build our lives for Jesus. And in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, where we read, it says that no one has known the mind of the Lord. It's too deep. Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit, so we know the will of God. We know the mind of God. But we are not his counselors. Nobody has been his counselor. He is a Lord to himself. He's exalted his word above his name, and he is guided. He said, "I watch over my word to perform." His performances are guided by himself, his own word. He is the beginning that has no beginning. And so, who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to the person again. If you ever think you give something to the Lord, he says that it shall be given to you again. So really, this test shows us that God does not need us for anything. We are not at his level of thinking and contemplations. He doesn't need counsel from us. He doesn't need our giving, our money. You know, some people make giving look so important to God. But really, God doesn't need anything, because in truth, there is nothing we have that was not given to us by God. And even if we were to give him something, it really doesn't change who God is. It doesn't contribute anything to who God is and what he does. So he says that if anyone really felt that he's giving God something, it can be recompensed unto the person again. So the real point being made is the fact that God does not need us for anything. We rather need God for everything. Praise the Lord. So he says that for him and through him and to him are all things, and all things includes us. That everything that is in the world is for him, through him, and to him. Everything here exists for his pleasure. It's for his glorification. We don't live for ourselves, through ourselves, and for ourselves. He says that we live for him, we live through him, and we live to him. So our existence here on earth is supposed to be for Jesus. It's supposed to be for his pleasure. Every child of God must endeavor that the life that we are living will resemble Christ. The life that we are living for him. That means that you are not living for yourself. We are living for him here on earth. You don't make decisions thinking about you first. You make decisions thinking about Christ first. Paul said, I live in him, I move in him, and I have my being in him. That simply means that your real existence is for him. You are an instrument for the Lord. You are his creature. And he has been benevolent to us to come and live in us with his spirit, or else we would have been like a goat, a sheep, a monkey. That doesn't have the spirit of God. They are just things. Are you here with me at all? Creatures like ourselves, trees. You know, the only difference between us and every other thing God has created is that he chose to dwell in us in his fullness. His image, his likeness, he's come to dwell in us. His spirit is fully taking residence in us. And because of that, we cannot live for ourselves. So the work that I'm walking on this earth, I am walking here on earth to please Jesus. To live for him means that you want to live to please him. You want to live to make him happy. You want to live to bring glory to him. He said that all these things, to whom be glory what? Forever. So at every time as a child of God, you have to be saying that my living or existence here on earth must bring glory to the Lord. That simply means that your spiritual life, your family life, your career life, your everything, including even your medical life, you should be thinking about what you put into your body, because you are living for him. And if you are living for him, you should be a vessel that meets his standard. That's why putting alcohol in your body doesn't make you a vessel that is meet for his standard, because you are going to destroy that body. And when he needs to use that body for his glory, the spirit will be willing, but the body will be weak. Because alcohol destroys the organs God has created in the body. You can't be putting cocaine in your body. Or small cocaine is good. So why is small alcohol good? Or small heroin is good. It's not good. Alcohol can never be good. Whatever we need, it's already in existence. And you don't need to push it. Tell somebody, you don't need to push it. And tell somebody, if you are here, you are taking alcohol for appetite before you eat. And you have an alcoholic bar in your house. Know that the Lord does not need alcohol. And if you are living for Christ, talk to the person. If you are living for Christ, you have to change the collection in your bar. Are you here at all? Clap your hands for the Lord. It's a mocker. Alcohol is a mocker. He said that don't spend your life with a strange woman because it will reduce you to a loaf of bread. So you see that all these things, people can talk about it. Is it a sin? It's not a sin and all of that. But because we live for Christ, we cannot partake in certain things because it will not make us instrument fit for purpose, especially when he needs us for something he wants to do here on earth. And every day God wants to use us to bring glory to himself. You know, one of the reasons why you should know that alcohol and every form of immorality is not useful, because when someone says they have received Christ, and let's say my father was an alcoholic, when he said he had received Christ, our first expectation was that he should be downing tools on the alcohol. My mom is as well, Jesus. So my hands are for Christ. See, it's empty. No alcohol in my hand. Someone is on cocaine and they give their lives to Christ. The whole society around the person will be expecting that that person will not be hooked to cocaine again. Is that not so? If a prostitute gave their lives to Christ, we'll be expecting that that person will not go back. Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery in the very act. He says that, no problem, but go and don't repeat it. But there is a message that has come into the church that says that you can have Christ and have your old life. You can have Christ and still be repeating it. And no one, except Judas, kept stealing and stealing and stealing and stealing around Jesus. And what did we see? He hung himself with operating in Christ and operating with his old self of a thief. Jesus said, one of you is a devil. He described him very clearly. So don't make it look very fanciful. Having Christ, being in the church, being a Christian, and holding on to your old self, because Christ really describes such people as devils on his table. They are traitors. You have Christ, but you are not living for Christ. So we don't preach the message of condemnation, but we have to preach also the message of light. The message, the truth that brings liberation to your soul, that you because you are for Christ, you have to strive not to partake of certain things. That's what the apostles did. That's what the disciples did. That's what people who followed the Lord. I mean, look at the guy who was using sorcery to take over the whole place. When Philip entered into that space and the person received Christ, he didn't use the sorcery again. Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me? Anyone who encountered Christ, Paul as Saul encountered Christ, he left all the murdering he was doing. How come we have come into Christ and we are still continuing from where we left off? It's like receiving Christ is a theory, but there is no change. No, Christ is the real change agent in your life. Real encounter in Christ will make you live your life for Christ. You know him and make him known. Every time you have to ask yourself a question. The way I'm living my life, am I a good advert for the Lord? Am I a good marketer for Jesus? Am I an epistle people can read and say that there is a difference between living for Christ and living not for Christ? Is there? You just watch your life and ask yourself, people in your space who don't know the Lord, can they look at you and say they want to serve your Jesus? Are you even sometimes proud to say, I'm a Christian? Because when they are quaffing, you quaff with them. When they are boozing, you booze with them. When they are da-da-da, But Bible says that do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You see, when he said that, if you read the text properly, it was about doings. It was about what? Perspective and doings. It's not like you cannot have a Muslim friend. You can. Because they are all human beings. And if we live in a compound, you will say that my children should not play with the children of the Muslim. But that's not what the Bible is saying. But he's saying that in their dealings and in their doings, don't follow them. That's why he said that I'm giving you lands that you did not fight for, the promised land. But when you go there, there will be some remnants of these people on the land. I do not want you to practice their practices. It's about that. So come out from amongst them. You come out. Tell somebody, come out. And the coming out, you are coming out from practices. You are coming out from certain things. That's why the Holy Spirit is in us, in Galatians chapter 5, to help us to bear the fruits of the Spirit so that we can live for Christ. Tell somebody, you are here to live for Christ. To live for Christ. So, living for Christ is something that should be our primary focus in building our lives this year. He said, for of him, and through him, and to him. Everything is about him. Nothing about us. All to his glory. All to his pleasure. All for what he wants, none of what we want. John the Baptist says that. What did he say? He says that what? Let me decrease. That he will what? Increase. I'm not even worthy to untie the lace of his shoe. It's a privilege that we know Jesus. And this year, you should make Jesus the real center and foundation of your life. As a child of God. That's why you can't step out without connecting or consulting him in a communion. Praise the Lord. Because if you are living for me, then you should know what my schedule is. You are living for me, you should know what my itinerary is, what my expectations are for today. So that you don't just step out assuming that you know what I want today, you know where I'm going today. You cannot assume if you are living for the Lord. You have to be very intentional and you need to engage him. That's why in the realm of grace, he said, the grace of the Lord. When Paul was sharing the benediction, he says what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. How does it come? The love of God. Praise the Lord. How do we function with it? The communion of the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody, you are supposed to have communion. Communion. Koinonia is the word. Fellowship. A deep, intimate relationship. You and Christ, you are fused as one, like a husband and a wife. That is the communion. Every day, you should have the feeling from his heart. You should have how he feels, what he wants, what will make him happy, what he wants you to do. Is there a lady here who doesn't want their husband to know what their love language and, you know, all those English you speak? You know, every lady wants to be pampered. Two of us. What is happening? If you are angry with your wife or not speaking well to your wife, you are not doing well. Can you talk to another man? Another man? It doesn't matter what's happening. If you are very, very angry, oh, please talk to them. And you are not speaking well, treating them well, then you are not doing well. I want you to say it to a sister. Say it to a sister. Praise God. So it's a blessing. Communion helps you to be able to not just look at the facade, but you are able to internalize whatever is the perspective of the person you are dealing with. You are able to know them beyond people who know of them. Are you here? Because you are in a deeper relationship. So we're living for him. Praise the Lord. That confession I made you to make to your partner, it is one of the things that will make your partner or people around you respect your walk with God. And living for him means that we need to mature. We need to grow. We need to what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, in the NASB, living for Jesus means that you and I have to grow daily. He says that, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things and we, for whom are all things, and we exist for him. There's one Father. For whom, from whom are all things, everything comes from him. And they exist also what? For him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. All things are from him and for him. Say from him and for him. I can't hear you. Talk to me, baby. Say, I'm from the Lord. So I live for him. So I have to mature. My very life is for him. Everything I have is also for him. My children, my spouse, my sexual life, moral life, spiritual life, financial life, career life. Everything is from him and for him. There is no part of your life that is not for him. So if you are bringing garbage to the table, what you are doing is that you are presenting garbage to him. The Bible talks about a son who is not morally upright. It says that that one brings disgrace to the father. There's a way that God can make you so wealthy and you are a disgrace to him. Do you know how? When they are talking in your office that churches collect money too much, then you see the scripture. All things are from him and for him. He gave you the money for him. He's just keeping them. You are a steward. You cannot be contributing to such conversation as if God stole from you. And if you really felt like he took too much from you, tell him, you recompense him. Then after that, he will take his breath. Then we'll see who will be richer. It's just a blessing that you and I have an opportunity to say that I have some $100,000 there. I want to bring it to God. I have some one kobo there. I want to bring it to God for God's work. For God's work. Praise the Lord. In this church, there's no pastor who is paid. I believe that pastors have to be paid if they are doing the work full time, even part time. But in this church, by the special grace of God, maybe this is also our small contribution for God. Praise the Lord. Does that make a priest who is paid wrong? No. Because we just have to do the ministry for maybe 1 week or 1 month. And then you see that, oh, ministry is a real work. Living for him. Everything must be for him. When David was about to pass on to glory, he said that everything I have is for you. Even though you have commissioned Solomon, is the one who is going to build. Look, whatever I have, my resources, that is money, materials, his network. Some of the wood that Solomon used to build, David secured it with his friends outside of Israel. Before Solomon got to the wood level, David had secured all of that. So Solomon was ready, and then people will bring wood. He said, oh, your father said that when you reach here, we should bring wood to you. That were dead and gone. But he says that everything that I have and I am is for the Lord. So use it for the work of God. How do you live your life for God? You live, one, to represent Him. Number two, you give everything you have that He requires of you to Him as an expression that I am for you. Praise the Lord. I am what? I can't hear you at all. I am what? The Bible says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It is impossible to say that I love you, I am for you, and I don't give you. It's not correct. That equation is not complete. There is no equal sign there. The equation is only left side. There's no right side. You can't balance it. I love you, I don't give you. What definition of love is that? And God shows us how to give yourself to someone by coming in Jesus, dying and sacrificing Himself unto us to save us. So when God says you live for me, He is trying to get us to follow His example. Die to yourself, sacrifice, and give yourself to save the work of God here on earth. Anything that represents God, you die for it and you give yourself to it to make sure that it is growing. It is what? It's growing. Why will we go to school? Because we want to go to school to add to the data of people who are educated and are standing for Jesus. That's the first purpose. So that this world, growing in knowledge, will not think that only sankwas are in church. So the reason why you should finish that master's course is because we need you to be added to that data of people who stand for the Lord. And when they are reading the credential, we know that the glory of a king is in multitudes. And the multitude, they are not mere men or vain men. They are men that are reckoned based on the standard of this world. That you are doing the master's, then you have withdrawn. Because we don't understand why it is so. There are some people, if they entered into a particular church, they will scan the place and they will say that I don't fit here. Because they see themselves higher than anyone that is there. It's an estimation. And the Bible says that do not esteem yourself higher than you really are. But sometimes people enter into spaces and everybody there is beggarly. Everyone there, they can't put two sentences together. They don't look like it. That's why if you look at Jesus' followers, from Peter, fisherman, and all of that, he started recruiting some people. He recruited Zacchaeus, Dr. Luke. He was just recruiting people. Paul said that, Charlie, if you say you are a lawyer, and me, I'm a lawyer passive. Just the learned, recruiting people from all walks of life. Fishermen, recruiting people from deep, so that if you enter into any industry or market, the best of the best, are you here? We call it the best in class, will be Jesus's people too. During the takeoff, I brought a professor here, a female professor, who told you how she got there and how she's built her life to where she is. Are you here with me at all? Great. Recently, one of our members was honored by DUT, Durban University of Technology, Dr. Theodora. And then they posted her on their website and their social media handles, and I saw it. I said, hey, where do... This is a great advert for Jesus. Why did I go to school? Because people don't think pastors are intelligent. You and I, we are not unintelligent. The people in politics, we went to secondary school with them. We did whatever with them. Maybe they chose a path we didn't choose. But to think that people in the secular space, because they chose a certain path that society recognizes, makes them better than people in church. We have to change the model. Are you here with me at all? This preaching I'm preaching, it looks like this year a lot of pressure is going to come on people to go to school. Because some ladies are here, they are only waiting to get married and give birth to children. That's all your focus. I'm living for Jesus. Just the bomb, 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 bomb. Increase the population of Ghana. You are going to go to school. Say amen. You are going to go to the next level of your career. All of that is, why do I want to make so much money? It's to give it to Jesus. It's to build the work of God. I was listening to one great man of God. He says that he used to pray a prayer so many years ago that, God, give me money so that when any church is building for you, I will have money to build the altar for the church. Just the altar for the church. And he was so happy that when he saw a good church building, and you go and give them money, he said, how much would the altar cost? And then he'll give the money to them. He said, now he has changed his prayer. Now he changed the prayer some years ago that, God, give me money that I will be building churches for you. And now he's building churches in different cities and communities. He's a pastor, but he will build for this church. He said, Charlie, send a pastor there. Let him go and pastor people. Build here, build there. Be doing crusades with heavy medical outreach, feeding people, winning souls and all that. He just changed from, I want to build the altar in the church, to building for the Lord. What is your dream for Jesus this year? Living for Jesus means that you can withstand somebody insulting you in church and you will not leave Jesus. You will not leave what? Why are you not talking to me? You got to be talking to me. You will not leave Jesus. First of all, when you leave church, it does not mean you have left Jesus. But let me just do it properly. Offense in church or in the realm of Christ does not mean you should backslide and leave Christ. I'm offended that I married, I never gave birth. And so? That I'm in Christ and I never got a job. And so? You didn't come into Christ for all these things. So you came to Christ to have eternal life. That's the primary thing. But when you are in Christ, all these things shall be what? Added. And sometimes two are added. Sometimes three are added. Four are added. So I don't know what he's going to add. Maybe some people will have 10 added. Some will have 9, 8, blah, blah, blah. So in case your own is only 3 that was added. Shall I take, because you came here with nothing. Take it and still follow him. So if the 3, he gave you education, he gave you marriage without children, God forbid you have children, say amen. But we have to preach the hard things. If he gave you everything and you are battling with your health, Paul said that, Charlie, Paul, they say his eyes was giving pause, MP with the near say all the time. This guy, he was raising the dead, he was doing miracles, but his own eyes were looking here and here and having challenges. If Paul were in our time, he'll be wearing glasses, heavy glasses. Every time he's looking, he's doing like this. But he was still writing. Just imagine somebody who had that kind of terrible eye condition in prison. He was still not offended. He was writing. Writing the epistles, letters upon letters upon letters. He gets small light now, he's writing. Then as for a small thing, I'm out. Do you know why? Because you have an option in your head that
If I'm not in Christ, I can't be here. Tell somebody, you cannot serve Christ with a plan B. There is no other foundation. We read the scripture. Than that which is laid in Christ. When you leave Christ, you have entered into the water. You have entered into sand. You have entered into building not on the rock. But people have alternatives in their mind. When Paul was on a shipwreck, sailing, and there was a shipwreck, some people wanted to jump ship. He said, no, you can't go. Stay in the ship. Stay here. The Lord said we should all stay here. He will save us in the ship. Even if it breaks down, he knows how to save us with a broken ship. And he said, until you stay, you will not be saved. So they had to cut all these lifeboats that were around the ship. They had to cut them to go. Because people were trying to escape through the lifeboat. You know, you can come into Christ and you already have a lifeboat. If I pray and it doesn't work, I will go to the shrine. Or I will do this. Or you have all these lifeboats that you want to use to escape. If my husband is not giving me, my sugar daddy will give me. If I'm not married, I'll go and get one child somewhere. If it's not working here, I'll go. It's like you have lifeboats all around you. And all these lies will kill that real life, because the real life will only be preserved in the ship. Somebody brought us here, and we are here to live for him. Praise the Lord. So in living for him this year, first of all, think covenant. Think what? I can't hear you. Think what? Now, because we are living for him, building on him, building with him, and living for him, he has a model that works for us. So when we follow that model, we are going to receive everything that he says we can receive. When you give your soul to Christ, the next thing you seek to give to him is your substance. Is your what? I can't hear you. Is your what? And you do that by faith. You do that by what? The things that I'm going to tell you, and they are not by force. But if you are a child of God, you will know that they are necessary for your next level. One of the things that if you are a child of God, you have to give to the Lord as a way of living for the Lord is your first fruit. Is your what? It's your first fruit. First of all, you give the Lord. And you honor the Lord with your first fruit. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. You honor the Lord with your substance. So whenever you are giving to God, what are you doing? Please, what are you doing? Now tell somebody that honoring God is not just mouth. Scripture says that you honor him with what? You honor him with what? What is the scripture saying? You honor him with what? You don't say, hey, mommy and daddy, those of you who have got parents here, mommy and daddy, I honor you so much. I honor you so much. I'm talking about your biological parent too. No matter how rich they are, your honor does not stop with your words. Your real honor must scale up when you bring in substance. When you bring in what? That's why you hear the OC, yes, in the banner to diamond. Yes, in the banner or channel. And all of you, some of you have problems with your parent. Parent, they are, some of them are problematic. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Duh. They are problematic. They are problematic. You cry, you are problematic. So the fruit does not fall far from the tree. But there's a scripture that said that if you are merciful, you shall obtain mercy. It does not matter how problematic that parent is to you. As a child of God, you always have to stick with the word of God. If the Bible says, honor them, you honor them. Does that mean you should have a very deep relationship with them? Not always. Because some of them, a deeper relationship with them means that you are going back to Egypt. But honor them. Do what? That means that some of your parents, you have to manage them with the principles of God. Manage them. It's like every other relationship. Some you have to manage and determine the degree of engagement. The degree of influence, especially from their side. If you are in Christ and your mother or father is trying to push you into idol worship, he's still your mother and father. He has not changed. It's just that you have to manage that conversation and take it off the table. Are you here with me at all? Yeah. But what is due them? Give honor to whom honor is what? Due. Somebody going to labor what to push you or to allow herself to be cut for you to come out. You have to honor them. Your father, even if he's a runaway father, sure, he's still your father. I know you don't agree. It's not everything you should agree in church. But I'm just telling you that, see, it doesn't reduce you when you do what is right. Some of us, our fathers didn't take care of us, but we are proud to call them father. It is what you do with what happens to you. It's not what happened to you. Everyone, something has happened to us. But what do you do? And sometimes when you are honoring people who have dishonored you, this is what makes you a Christian, that you are on a higher pedestal. And where you are, what pertains there is what you bring to that lower level. If honor is at the higher calling you have been called in Christ, that is what you release to everyone. Are you here with me at all? And still protect yourself. So, substance. Give God substance. Then he goes ahead to show us the kind of substance we should give to the Lord as we are honoring the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please put a scripture there. He said that, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's why in this church, every January, we bring God our January's salary or income, however you call it. Say that, oh, this is the fair salary of the year, 2026. I want to, because I'm living for you, building on you, building with you, I bring it to you as my measure of honor. The pastor does it. The co-pastor does it. All the pastors do it. I remember some years ago, we used to have a director of a bank here. And that director of a bank, her subordinate was here. One of the managers of the bank was also here. So when I was preaching this first fruit, the lady came from Methodist and joined our church. When I was preaching about this first fruit, she said it was the first time she had heard about it. And there were many things she had put before the Lord. So this manager in the bank received a salary, and then she actually invited the boss to church. He said, oh, I've gone to pay my first fruit. I said, Jinan chain. Free had Jinan chain. I said, oh, madam, why? I said, but if I were to pay this kind of first fruit, what salary are you saying? Her allowance is more than the salary of this one. And this is a top manager. I said, oh, then you would be an kang. But I made the anomaly to her. Hi, unse, humi, unse, akami, achimi. Kukurudu. Mimi sa obeka so osuno. Osuno echi nyabwa. So may the two hours. If this is what is required, would the ABA send any and the nipa shed them once I did account. Account. But the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is also what? Required. How beautiful it is to know that I started the year by honoring the Lord as a position of my covenant. It's a covenant position. Don't joke with covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. There are some things that can be put in argument, but you ask yourself, if I went ahead to do it, what would be my loss? Like, okay, alcohol, they say, it's not a sin. That's some people. Question is, if I did not drink it, what would be my loss? Fornication, adultery. Let's assume some people say it's not a sin. If I did not partake in that, what would be my loss? Will you not gain? First fruit. So that's why in this church, every year I'm just praying that I will honor the Lord higher than I did the year before with my first fruit. It's a position of my covenant. When I stand before the Lord, the blood of Jesus has saved me by my life that I'm living in Christ by faith. Works are important. Works are what? And I express my faith in works. Say, James says, show me your faith. And I will show you a man who has works as a proof of his faith. So, salvation is not by works. But after that you have been saved, you need works. Works that explains your faith that you have towards God. And if you cannot do those works, that's why the apostles, when they were saved there, they were happy to give their lives back, even to be killed. It was part of the works. And sacrifice is the mainstay of your faith. Mainstay. That's why you need faith to walk with the Lord. Sacrifice. That's how God has blessed us in this church. We have never sent one envelope to any unbeliever since this church began. We have never loaned anywhere, never borrowed anywhere. I don't know if in the future. Everything we have done, all the, by the grace of God, properties we have bought in different parts, things we have developed, it has never come from the place of begging or borrowing or loaning or whatever. I'm not saying churches that do that are wrong, but I'm just telling you that the Lord himself has been supplying all our needs according to his riches in glory. Why? Because we also took a stand, a position in covenant, that we will honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruit of all our increase. Some years ago, when we started preaching, we were talking about this first fruit. When we came to Accra, we have been renting and purchasing, so we saved money. And then I said that no, this time I'm going to buy a land in Accra, and then at least let's build a house for the family. Then January came. You know, God is my employer. So my payments, some come from the air, some come from the wind, some, it's like Captain Planet with all powers combined. So I said, no. Let me carry this money that I want to use to buy land in this Accra and use it as my first fruit. And the first fruit, you know, me and my wife, we don't do it together. Each one for himself. God, the covenant, don't be bringing we are together to get. No. Face your God. Do what? I'm not hearing you at all. Do your what? Face your God. You can encourage somebody, but face your God. And then I gave it out as my first fruit. Then I saw one brother. He was just peppering me. Pastor, there's some land to be here. Blah, blah, blah. So later, 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 later. Because I know that money no day. Then he said, I want you to see a property. So in my mind, maybe he's built a house or something. He wants me to go and dedicate. Every time I'm just doing him like this, like this, like this. So after many months, one day I was praying. In that same year, like the first quarter of the year. And very early in the morning, the Lord told me that this person that has been calling you that property can da 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 da. Why don't you listen to what the person wants to tell you? So I didn't even end the prayer. I just cut the prayer and I called the person. You have been calling me about some property. But he said, Pastor, today I didn't go to work. Can you come and have a look at it? I said, what is it about? He said, you come and have a look at it. So I said, okay. I just drove my car to the area where he showed me that I should come. When I went, not knowing, he has a parcel of land walled. He's made an indenture with my name and that of my wife on it. He's just dashing the land to us. He's been peppering me, sir. Pastor, just come and see, sir. Whoopa, now I won't pay. And I was doing yeah in my corner. May opportunities be there. Let covenant give you opportunities so that you can have time to do yeah by the side. And he never took it away. And you can see the day that he showed me, I said, he said, Pastor, do you like it? I said, I decrease. He now went to show me a house he has built in that neighborhood. And he and the wife, they were very excited that they give Pastor land and Pastor likes it. I said, somebody has given me something. The person is more excited than the receiver. Hey, covenant will speak for you this year. Kind of scripture. He said, you will honor the Lord with your first fruit. And what will happen? Verse 10. He says that, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Yes. Thy barns will be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Plenteousness is connected to covenant giving. That I'm living for you. So I'm giving you my first fruit. That's how I start the year. That's how we start the year. Giving. God gave his first and only begotten son. Just gave. It's the reason why he has plenty children everywhere. Then thy presses shall burst with new wine. New kidney. New pregnancy. Let the devil steal the pregnancy billion times. God will give you a new one. New. Say new. Some people, only old testimonies are what is in your life. Because you stop following the covenant. So new things have stopped. But every day the messages are new. Every day the releases are new. And they are for covenant people. Sometimes we claim things that we have not positioned ourselves for. Hey, new things. Your presses shall be filled with new wine. Every time now there is stock, new stock. Say new stock. I can't hear you at all. Say new stock, new stock. Ask somebody this year. Are you for covenant or you are for yourself? Nakachi Obi said, first fruit in wood dia where they are best. The prophet told the woman, he said, give me first. Give me what? First. Give me first. And when the prophet was giving first, the woman went and saw that, when you give first to the Lord, whatever you give never finishes. It was flowing. Please, let's rise. Tell somebody this year, I'm going to try to do something great for the Lord. I'm going to try to live for the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to try to honor the Lord with my first. Can you move to about five people and say this year, no, am going to try. Are you also going to try? Try by faith, by covenant, try. Are you going to, please talk to all these, talk to them. Are you going to try? Are you going to move in covenant? Are you going to try? Let the heavens be open. Try by faith. Tell somebody, if you don't have faith, you can't try. Build your faith and try by faith. Can you move to about five people? Tell somebody, this thing needs faith too. You need faith to try it. You need faith to try it. Try something great. I don't want to see anybody standing. Please move around. Tell somebody, this thing, you need faith to try. Try it by faith. Honoring the Lord with your substance and with your first fruit. Try it by faith. Some people will not understand why your life prospers so much. Yeah, they don't understand. Because it's in your secret. It's in your covenant. About the covenant is by faith. And I say, well, we task say. Praise the Lord. Yes, by faith. This is my faith. I had Tobinko talking. Kai. I say, you want to sudu. Give your tithe. This Pentecost. Give your tithe. I say, Bafaria tisen ya won ni minyansa. Ye juma. Empe profit be bring kitin kiti adidasusa. Who we are? Pay your tithe. Give. Build. These are people building churches. The offering has moved from small money to lands and edifices and prisons. Go to Pentecost Convention Center. The whole land there. Hectares or say of land there. One family just dash it to God. He said, you won't find your. That's our family. No, bro. Some men are Europe. Obenya sasia nantiswa ko Europe hodie. May God bless that family wherever they are. If you are not made for greatness, great things look very difficult in your eyes. That's why Lot could not look in the direction Abraham looked. He looked at where a soft. A soft. It's me who green pastures. Higher soft. Tell somebody that if you are considering soft things that you can do without pressing and pushing your faith, you will not see the hand of God at work. Big and great things, they are in deeper waters. Deeper waters. Praise the Lord. How many of you are blessed this morning? Are you blessed? Just we are. It's not I'm a Christian. It's what you do with your Christianity. What are you doing with it? That's it. See, you know, in the name of the end, you'll be in the name of. But Abraham is different because of covenant. Lift your hand. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. One more time. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. Come on, lift your hands and say, Father, touch me like never before. Touch my heart so that I can give you the treasures of my heart and the treasures in my hand. Can you open your mouth and pray for God to expand your faith and give you the ability to be able to honor him, honor the covenant, honor him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International.
Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.